Hey everybody, it's me again, and the continuing saga of the Miami Hurricane story continues to have an impact. And now the credibility of the guy, Nevin Shapiro, is being questioned. And here's my take on it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. This guy could be doing a lot of lying, but it's very hard when you've got video evidence, when you've got audio evidence, when you've got factual proof beyond what this guy says that something happened. He may be exaggerating it to his own benefit. But you have to understand this. He really can't benefit a whole lot. He's in jail. He's broke. He can't legally, if I understand Florida law correctly, he can't make money off this, so he can't write a book and do this. Now, maybe he can write it, somebody else can write it, and he can contribute, and that person will cut him a share of it. But even that's illegal, and if you're found out, that writer could lose his share of his part of the money, if I understand the law correctly. So really, I don't see how much he's got to lose, except he's just being spiteful and trying to bring down people with him. That could be a possibility. But let's say that's what he's doing. There is still the fact that he was a part of this university for quite a while. He was a booster, and he was quite involved with these athletes' lives. And he's probably not the only one. And Miami of Florida is probably not the only school to have situations like this. It's just this particular booster was running a very big Ponzi scheme. I don't think it was Madoff size, but it was pretty big to say the least. And the question you have to ask yourself is, how deep is the rot in college football? How deep is this? Is this just a one-off? Just a really, really, really bad apple, and the rest are sort of a little bit rotten. That all they really have to be is have the rot cut out, and they'll be okay. Or is the reality that a lot of major colleges have a lot of rotten boosters that are soiling the program? That has to be addressed by the NCAA, and that has to be addressed by the conferences. That has to be addressed by the college presidents and the athletic directors. If you want to run a clean sport, you got to prove it. And the problem is, they don't really want to run a clean sport if it means impacting the bottom line. College sports is a business-oriented system now. It's money-making. College football and men's college basketball, and to a certain extent, even some programs in women's college basketball, are money-making endeavors. College baseball is starting to get like that in some cases. But the two biggies are men's college basketball and college football. And a lot of the violations tend to come in college football and men's college basketball. And a lot of times I don't really blame the players as much, because they're young. A lot of them come from underprivileged homes, or, you know, they're poor. And if somebody says, hey, you know, you can have this money just for playing, and their families are needing money, they may take it and hope nobody finds out about it. When you're desperate, you'll do desperate things. You're willing to compromise, and a lot of athletes have done this out of good intentions for their families, and they eventually, some of them get punished. Some of them, They don't care. The athletes I don't blame as much as the boosters and these universities, who basically have to turn a blind eye because they do not want to lose that competitiveness. Will paying the players eliminate this problem? Not entirely, but it's a good step forward. But you're not going to see that happen, because that means the NCAA would actually have to part with some of its profits. And they don't want to do that, which is a real shame. I'm John T. Hill. Good night, good luck, and may the good news be yours.